scripture reading, would you please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, I will be reading verses 5 through 11. We have God's word as follows. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Special attention this morning will be given to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I told you that there was a lion in your backyard or on your street, you would immediately be on your guard. You know that lions are mean, dangerous, and especially so when they are hungry and on the prowl. They can creep up on their prey and attack without warning. So yeah, if there were a lion near you, you would indeed be watching out for him. Well, there is a lion, and you better be watching out for him. Long time ago, there was war. A fight, vicious fight in heaven. And that fight, that war is described for us by the Apostle John, writing in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And I begin reading at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, but prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Now, beloved, this passage does not speak of the fall of Satan at the time of creation, but of the defeat of Satan at the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Shortly before his death on the cross, recall these words spoken by Jesus. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. From John 12, verses 31 and 32. The Apostle Paul, commenting on this victory of Christ, writes the following in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The image here is of a conquering Roman general parading his vanquished and humiliated enemies behind his chariot. Again, winning over the devil. Beloved, an invisible cosmic struggle then took place at the cross. And the prince of this world, Satan, was cast out, thrown down to the earth, and bound. Recall the words of Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Revelation 22. And we should always connect that particular statement and verse along with the words that we read in Matthew 12, 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? We'll come back to that later. Through Jesus' death for sinners, Satan was robbed of his power to intimidate and control people through the threat of death and eternal separation from God. However, that struggle with Satan and his legions continues, and it will not end until the Lord's return in glory. In the meantime, we see that very early prophecy fulfilled in which God said that he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. And the attempts of Satan and his agent to prevent the increase, his agents to prevent the increase of the church by devouring her offspring as soon as it was born. Words from Revelation 12:4. Those words should make us recall Herod's attempt to destroy the Christ child by having all the male children in Bethlehem and the surrounding region who were 2 years old and under, having them all killed to get rid of the Christ child. Matthew 2, verse 16. Well, as I bring all of this to your attention, the question immediately comes to mind, you know, Pastor, how could it be possible that there be a fight in heaven? A fight in heaven where God is, where everything is perfect. And who Now we know that God created the angels to live with him in heaven and to work for him. But sometime before the creation of the earth, one of those angels said to himself, "Why can't I be powerful like God and be king over everything?" And the more he thought about it, the more he wanted to be in God's place. And he stirred up some other angels to be on his side. So that centuries later resulted in this war in heaven. This war in heaven where Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, as we read earlier. Well, we have to understand, beloved, that for a time God tolerated Satan and his angels, even allowing them to deceive the nations or the whole world, as we read Revelation 20, verse 3. But later, God punished the wicked angels and their leader for their constant rebellion against him. And upon the victory of Christ at his crucifixion and resurrection, he threw them out. He threw them out of heaven. Because God would no longer tolerate Satan's presence for his accusations. No longer can he go about now deceiving the nations, bringing the accusation that there was no salvation. No longer was he able to point to the unfinished work now of the Savior. Christ's atonement now had been fully accomplished, just as it had been prophesied for centuries. The justice of God had now been satisfied. The demands of God's law had been met. Complete satisfaction for sin was rendered when Christ arose victorious over sin and death and the grave. And John now hears the loud voice from heaven, the loud meaning triumphant voice in heaven, say, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." And they overcame him, that is Satan, overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Words we read earlier, Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. And now, the ransomed of the Lord could exultantly say with the Apostle Paul, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that can condemn? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even now at the right hand of God, and is making intercession for us. So yes, Satan would no longer be able to exercise the kind of power that he had earlier. And bring those accusations that he had brought to you. However, Satan did not stop fighting against God when God threw him out of heaven. It only made him the more angry and made him fight even harder. He couldn't fight God in heaven anymore. Now that he was cast down to the earth, he would fight God by hurting and destroying. destroy his creation in every way possible. Every way he could. Satan would get back at God for being cast out, would get back at God by wrecking now his world. The world that God had made. And every day, Satan and his angels are busy in the world fighting against God. And that's why we read the words of verse 12, Revelation 12. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Devil has come down to you in great wrath. Knows that he has but little time. He's going to use every second, every hour, every minute, every hour to wreak havoc in this world. And you think about all the things, the evil that goes on in this world. In fact, witness the hatred, the vitriol, the lies, the recriminations of this past week, and the political turmoil of our own government, and within our news media. And you've got to recognize Satan's hand and Satan's work. But most of all, Satan tries to make the people in the world hate God. Forget about him. Satan wants the people to be on his side, not on God's side. And the people that Satan bothers the most are those whom God loves. The church. Satan tries every trick that he knows in order to make us sin against God. So that, you know, he can say, look, God, I made one of your people sin against you. Now, we've always known, beloved, we've always known that the devil was around and that he was busy at work. But too often we think of him as being somewhere else. We must remember that wherever God builds a church, the devil erects a chapel. And that's true, for Satan's greatest hatred is concentrated on those who belong to God. Interesting verse that we read. We didn't read it earlier, but verse 13 of Revelation 12. To reinforce what I've been saying. And when the devil, when the dragon, that Satan, saw that he was cast down to the earth, he turned his attention to the woman. He persecuted the woman. That's the church. He persecuted the woman who had brought forth the man-child. And that's where Satan directs his most fiercest attacks. You think of the persecution that has gone on against the church down through the centuries. That's Satan. That's Satan at work. Beloved, we cannot see Satan. And we can't see the wicked angels that help him. Just as we cannot see God and his holy angels. But we know that Satan and his helpers are all around us. Why? Because the Bible tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion, walking about and stalking his prey. We've got to remember that. That's how dangerous Satan is. And we've always got to be out looking out for him, watching out for him. He is subtle. He's always prowling around. And he can come at us in many ways, especially at the church, causing us to doubt, to fear, to covet, to hate, to lust, to lie, to fill the people with envy and discontent, to use false prophets and false doctrine. Beloved, he uses all of the deadly weapons he can, particularly himself, but also the world and our own sinful flesh. And so, beloved, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready to fight against Satan. And how do you fight against the lion? How do you fight against Satan? Well, God says that he'll help us. God says he will help us fight against Satan so that Satan will run away and leave us alone. Listen to James 4, verse 7. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all of the schemes of the devil. And in this armor, we read about in Ephesians 6, God has given us a weapon with which to fight against Satan. A weapon that is described, and I think you're familiar with it, a weapon that is described as a sword. Ephesians 6, of course, is where Paul writes about the Christian soldier and his armor. And he says that the Christian is to what? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that sword is further described for us in Hebrews 4, verse 12. We read, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we love the message of Scripture's plain. Be firm in the faith. Resist the devil. Use your weapon. That's what God expects you and I to do. We are to oppose the devil, not flirt with him or dabble in his ways. And Jesus shows by example. He shows us by example just how we are to use this sword. I think you will recall, Jesus is taken into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And now we're going to read that passage and note especially how Jesus meets each temptation. We pick up the account in Matthew 4, beginning at verse 3. The tempter came and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered him, note, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, setting on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Then Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him. He fled. And angels came and ministered to Jesus. So we read in Matthew 4, verses 3 to 11. Now, I trust that I don't even have to ask this question. How did Jesus fight against Satan? By using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that sword was effective. Satan could not stand up to it. So he left. He fled. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Just as he left Jesus alone. Satan will never win in his fight against God, because God has all power. And Satan can do nothing unless God allows him. Now God is letting Satan and his helpers do terrible work in this world for a while. But even now, beloved, God does not let Satan do all the wicked things that Satan would like to do. And in that respect, back to an earlier comment or earlier verse, in that respect, Satan is bound. Satan is bound. He is like a dog on a leash. However, within the reach of that leash, he can and does great damage. And that is exactly the case. And Jesus so clearly referred to this when he disputed with the Pharisees after he had healed the blind demoniac. And I'm reading to you Matthew 12, beginning at verse 24. The Pharisees said, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, Satan, that this man casts out demons. But knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. For how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. Yes, Jesus, beloved, has come into Satan's domain with the gospel, and he has conquered. And Satan's power is limited so that the gospel may do its mighty work. As we read earlier, salvation has come, the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. And Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of His Word. That's why the church exists and why the church can grow. Because Satan is bound. With His precious blood, indeed, Jesus has fully satisfied for all my sins and has redeemed me from the power of the devil. If Satan has his way, would there be a church? If Satan had his way, would you be sitting here today as a believer? Of course not. And right now, Jesus is praying for His own at the right hand of the Father. Now, if Satan had his way, that never happened. Praise God. Beloved, praise God, Satan is bound. And God's people are being saved. And we can pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand the moment, and besides our deadly enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, assail us without ceasing, be pleased to preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may make firm stand against them and not be overcome in this spiritual warfare until finally complete victory is ours. Number 127 from the Catechism. Beloved, at the end of the world, God will put Satan into hell to stay. It will be like putting that roaring lion in a cage that he can never get out of. And then the fight will be over. God will be the winner. Satan and his helpers, the losers, they will be put away forever, and they will never be able to fight against God again. But beloved, in the meantime, be sober, be watchful, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist. Resist. Firm in the faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, how thankful we are that the devouring lion has been bound. And that your gospel, the good news of salvation, continues to go forth. And that you continue to gather out of this world, from beginning to end, that chosen communion in the unity of true faith. And that I am, and forever shall remain, a living member of the same. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Amen.